You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
All right. So hit me with your best shot.
Why do you do this to yourself?
What?
Being like, you know, being like completely open to the randomness of not knowing what movie we're going to talk about.
Come on. Spontaneity is a spice of life, my friend.
Okay.
Variety.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough.
I'm in trouble.
We're gonna see how this goes, but it's I think you're gonna love the timing of this, but with that we're gonna go ahead and jump right in, and we're going to insert our bumper here.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai! Banzai! Banzai!
Banzai!
Hey, where's the meat?
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go
Ghostbusters!
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
And now I am Dave, this is Banzai Retro Club, and I've got Scott online.
Hey.
And what we are doing, dear listener, is we are continuing our ongoing saga, and what a long saga it has been, but a very fun journey of going through our 1980s essential movies. And so I'm doing this incredible, huge build-up for no reason. Because what's going to happen is that by the time that this posts, you're going to be looking at the movie title and you're going to know exactly what movie is coming up. But Scott is in the dark right now. He has no idea what is the next movie that has to be recorded, because I've been doing a lot of the solo episodes without him. So, and a lot of times what you don't know is that Scott also subscribes to the podcast and he gets the feed just like the rest of the listeners, and a lot of times he hasn't had the pleasure of listening or hearing what I talk about on the solo episodes. So this is kind of new for him, because he's really not sure which ones I recorded already and which ones I haven't.
I know you're in the low 100s.
Yes.
You might have busted 110.
I have.
Okay. So we're in, and I haven't – I only looked when we did the show when I was in town.
Right.
I think we're on like 115 or 116, and it was Last Starfighter. And did we do another one?
Yeah, we did. Mystic Pizza.
Mystic Pizza, right?
Right.
And that was like 115 or 116.
That was 117 and 116.
Okay. So when I listened to the podcast. And you just released Adventures of Babysitting last week.
Right.
I don't recall what number you said it was. Was it 113?
113, exactly.
All right. I was grasping there. I was guessing.
So yeah, 112, which is Caddyshack, that is by the, you know, we're really going to be dating this because this is going to post for a little while. But when that'll be the Thursday coming up is when Scott will get a chance to hear Caddyshack 112.
Oh, right. Which is a great movie.
Yeah. Caddyshack. Yep. So I've gone, I've done 111, I've done 110, I've done 109, I've done 108. So that leads us to where we're at today. And that's number 107 on the Essential Movie List. Valley Girl, 1983.
No way!
Yes.
This is good timing.
I told you. I told you that really? This was fantastic timing. First off, let's do this the way that I've been now kind of grooming, you know, how the Essential Movies is set up. I'm going to insert the trailer for Valley Girl here.
Oh, dang me! How could you?
For sure! Cody. Besides, it's totally gnarly birth control.
I can't stand it. Okay, so he's awesome.
Valley Girl.
She's out there somewhere.
This is the story of a boy from Hollywood who never dreamed the girl he'd want most was down here.
I'll stop the world.
Hello.
Hello. Who invited you?
Oh, wow, you mean you have to be invited? Well, that explains it.
What?
Well, everyone is dressed for it. See, if I had been invited, I wouldn't know this was a costume party.
Right.
It's the story of a girl from the valley who never dreamed she'd ever be seen with a boy from over here.
It's like I'm not getting out of this car.
All right, but when they attack the car, save the radio.
So when can I see you again?
I'm here with you now.
I know.
This is the story of Randy and Julie, the way they come together, and the people who try to pull them apart.
Like, don't you think they have parties over there? Oh, where? At the zoo?
This geek that she's with could scar her for life.
God, life?
If you think she's confused, you should see her father.
I'm together now. Be right there.
Julie's cool. Randy's hot. She's from the valley. He's not. Valley Girl.
Oh, bitchin', is this in 3D?
No, but your face is.
I'll stop the world and I'd melt with you.
And then I'm going to have Google tell us, hey Google, tell us about Valley Girl.
My apologies, I don't understand.
All right, that was not cool. Hey Google, tell us about the movie Valley Girl.
Valley Girl is a 1983 movie directed by Martha Coolidge, starring Nicolas Cage, Deborah Foreman, and Elizabeth Daly.
Okay. Hey Google, give us a synopsis of Valley Girl.
Here's the synopsis of Valley Girl. Lovely teen Julie Richmond, Deborah Foreman, is steeped in the excessive, pink-clad culture of the San Fernando Valley, complete with her narcissistic boyfriend, Tommy, Michael Bowen, at a party. However, Julie falls for an edgy Hollywood punk named Randy, Nicolas Cage, and the two begin an unlikely romance. Torn between fitting in with her superficial friends and embracing a more non-conformist lifestyle, Julie ultimately has to decide to stay with Tommy or take a risk with Randy.
That is probably the longest synopsis that I've gotten so far.
I was going to say, that was very detailed.
Way more detailed than I'm used to getting from Google. But thank you, girl. I appreciate that. Valley Girl, we talked about it with Suzanne. It even came up during the New Wave discussion. And this was kind of homework for our soundtrack. I was listening to the soundtrack for the New Wave discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I have history with this movie. And because it was like probably something that kind of got you into agreeing to be on the podcast with me in the beginning was because when I was with 80s Reboot Overdrive, I was kind of working through several co-hosts and I had a group of them that were a bit on the younger side. And right. when I brought up that I actually love Valley Girl, the movie, not the song, by the way, that the song sucks, just saying that for the record.
It does not.
It totally, oh my God, please don't defend that song. Are you going to defend that song?
Moon Unit Zappa.
Yeah, it's a bad song, dude. But I really enjoy this movie, and it's probably because it has a lot of similarities to another 80s movie that I love, which, of course, was Some Kind of Wonderful. So I think it has the same kind of similar theme. So that's probably why I'm a sucker for Valley Girl. But I just really, really got into the movie. I think Nick Cage did a wonderful job. I've always loved Deborah Foreman. She's a very beautiful actress from back in the 80s. So this movie and soundtrack always hits the right chords with me. And actually, that's probably another one that I'll have to start looking to see if I can find in those bins, for a DVD. Because I don't know if you could. I don't think I've ever looked for this one, in the wild, as we put it before. Mm. So that might be interesting to see. Can you really just walk up to a $5 bin at Walmart or a thrift store and find Valley Girl?
Oh, it's on.
So Scott, I know that I rambled a bit. What's your thoughts on Valley Girl?
Love this movie. Grew up in Southern California during the time, so it was relatable. Although I didn't know a lot of people that actually spoke like Valley Girl,
right?
Speak, but a lot of the fashion that was involved in the movie, a lot of the attitudes, I totally got. I didn't like it. I didn't like a lot of that stuff at the time. And like on our show with Suzanne, you know, I learned to appreciate a lot of the music that was involved with that movie much more later in life than I did at the time, because I was like more of a, you know, Judas Priest, AC/DC, Iron Maiden, Motley Crue kind of a guy.
So, hanging out at the Valley and talking that wasn't your scene.
Yeah. Well, we did go to the mall occasionally.
Okay. Because you were probably, you know, spike hair and ripped jeans.
No spike.
And
yeah. No spike.
No?
Okay. No spike hair. No.
All right.
No.
You didn't have the what was Nick Cage's partner, the guy that had like the
I can't remember his name, but his favorite. All I remember, one of the lines I remember was that when Nick Cage and Julie, Nick, what's Nick's character name in that one? I know Tommy was her real boyfriend who had the polo shirt with his collar up, and he was kind of he was real dick.
Randy.
So okay. Randy and Julie were off on their thing, right. And then his buddy and her friend, the she had dark hair. You know, when he was first introducing himself,
right?
He's like my name's so and so, and my favorite color is magenta, and his hair was actually like. Part of it was dyed magenta, and that just always stuck out to me as one of the best funny scenes. So
yeah, I was going back on the conversation that we just had about New Wave with Suzanne, and I remember that we were talking about kind of the division between punk and hard rock, and I was like, you know, I always, when I remember or think back to this movie, I always try to I always kind of label Randy or Nick Cage and his guy friend as punk. But I don't know. They weren't really anti-establishment.
They really weren't punk. Like, they weren't.
What would you classify them as then?
I don't know. I would put them more in the new wave area, really.
Okay.
although they tried to portray him as punk,
right?
That really was not what the punk image was. And even in the synopsis on IMDb, it says, you know, Julie, a girl from the valley, meets Randy, a punk from the city. And
why are you looking at IMDb?
Because
that's against the rules.
Come on,
you're breaking the rules. Breaking the rules, sir. We don't do that here on Bonsai Retro Club. Anyway, go ahead. You were saying.
So, I think punks from the era, from the real punks from that time, would be offended by their portrayal of him being a punk, because he was not really that. He didn't really have that much angst. Like,
yeah,
he didn't seem angry enough. He was too romantic.
Yeah, he was nonconformist, because he wasn't something like, you know, all the preppy kids that were there, you know, all the valley group. So not conformist, but yeah, he wasn't really out to do anybody any harm.
He's a little too sentimental.
Yeah. And I'm not to say that punks, you know, are trying to do anybody harm. I just think that they, you know, they have a voice against what's considered normal establishment, and they're going to make sure everybody hears that voice.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what punk is about. At least that's my interpretation of what punk is about. So I don't know if he was really that way. But he's quick to tell Julie, you know, in certain sequences, you know, I don't need the approval of my friends to do whatever. You know, this is, you know, I'm my own guy, and you should be your own woman, you know, for us to be together, kind of thing.
Mm.
That's getting deep. Jesus. A little too deep for an essential 1980s movie podcast.
Oh, come on. This is a great movie. I love this movie.
It is. So
it's very periodical.
How many times have you seen it?
I've probably seen it, I'll say, less than 5.
Okay. I'm putting in my brain somewhere between 5 and 6.
Okay.
So just enough to, you know, remember some key sequences, but
and maybe a few extras where I just kind of watched like 15 or 20 minutes of it.
Okay. So it's like you're changing channels or whatever, and you come across it and you go, I'll check that out.
Until I have to do the dishes or go cut down a tree or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I have like 20 minutes or 30 minutes to kill. I'm going to watch part of this movie. It's not a stretch for a lot of movies from that era.
Yeah.
Like like this weekend, I busted my ass in the yard. All right. I worked my ass off cutting down several trees and really trimming up the landscape in the back. And when it was time for lunch, I came in, I sat down, and I'm like flipping through some stuff, and you know, I landed on The Office, which is an easy go-to, just because, you know, they're short and they're goofy, but there's a lot of movies out there that I could have landed on and watched like 20 minutes or half an hour just to kind of take my break and have my lunch and drink a little water and get back to work eventually, But yeah, this would definitely fall into that category. If I'm like flipping through, I'd fall on it for 15, 20 minutes and go for it.
Yeah, I'd be fearful that if I did turn it on, that I'd want to watch it all the way through.
You might get sucked in.
Yeah.
All the way.
and then all of a sudden, you know, wife is coming home. And it's like, I thought you were mowing the lawn, the yard.
What the hell have you been doing all day?
I was like, well, Valley Girl was on, and it just accidentally came onto that channel, and
Steel Magnolias was on.
Yeah, that's a ticket. Yeah, Steel Magnolias. Don't yell at me, dear. Don't yell at me. I was going to finish the yard.
It'll be there tomorrow. It might be just a smidge longer, but you know, it'll be there.
Yeah. So going back to what you said earlier, you actually like this song? Seriously.
Which song?
Valley Girl from Moon Zappa.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, Moon Zappa, Moon Unit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun.
Dude, you're sick in the head.
It's fun.
You're sick in the head. Why am I arguing this? You like bad movies. All right. So
except for Temple of Doom.
True. This is true.
But yes, I do like bad movies. So what does that tell you about Valley Girl then?
No. The movie is great. No, the movie's uh-huh. good. The movie's good. The song sucks. Suzanne would back me up on the song sucking. All right. So what else about Valley Girl? Is there anything else, like any significant scene, any favorite character, any of that jazz you want to talk about?
No, just a great freaking soundtrack.
It really is.
And like we said with Suzanne, let me try that again.
Yeah, take another swig of whiskey. It'll help.
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah, there you go.
Tully.
Wish I had some with me. Mm.
It encapsulates the 80s.
Oh my God, that did work. Wow.
Wow.
See, kids, drink more whiskey. It'll help podcasting.
Good golly.
It encapsulates the soundtrack encapsulates kind of the time frame.
It really does. It really does wrap up the feel of a lot of things that were going on in the 80s. It's good stuff.
Okay.
Like when we mentioned, Suzanne actually brought it up with the whole English accent, like so much music that is from Europe and England, they kind of like are able to bypass the accent when they're singing. But a lot of the songs that are part of this movie, those artists, they embraced the accent when they sang their songs. And it's awesome.
Yeah, that's definitely, because as I was like looking for new wave songs that I really associate mm-hmm. with, and I really dug into the soundtrack. I can't remember any of the songs off the top of my head right now, but just I really got into enjoying that. And I was like, I was just going to leave that in the background and just kind of listen to it. So,
well, like Melt With You.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably one of the most iconic sounds. Songs and sounds of the 80s, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Not that I love the song, but it grabs the feel of the new wave of the 80s. And I've heard a couple different mixes that sing the lyrics, the lyrics that are supposed to be, it's I'll stop the world and melt with you.
Right.
And I've heard a couple remixes recently that are I'll stop the world and melt for you.
Hmm. Yeah. I like the original.
With. Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's all I have. That's all I have on this movie.
Okay.
Oh, other than I loved her parents. They're funny as shit.
Oh, the hippies. Yeah.
Yeah, the hippies. You know.
And he's talking about his shoes.
The guy that.
Yeah.
I swear he reminded me so much of Sonny Bono.
Yes, he did. In fact, there was like so many times that I thought that was Sonny Bono.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Buffalo. What are they called?
Oh, you're talking about his shoes.
What were they called? Because he broke it. He broke one.
And he said he just got them, but it was like at some protest, you know, years and years and years ago.
Yeah, like in the 60s.
Yeah. I don't remember what they were called.
And Buffalo something.
Yeah, not looking them up. Not going to.
Not Buffalo Trace.
Yeah. Buffalo Trace is a bourbon. How did I know that? For me,
not Buffalo Stance, right?
That's a song.
That was a song.
Yeah.
By Salt. Is that Salt and Pepper?
I don't remember. It sounds right. But yeah, for me, Deborah Foreman was, you know, kind of the rising star and what helped to really make this movie as great as it was.
Oh my God, she's so cute.
She is, like, for sure. like, totally. She's, like, so super tubular, you know?
Like, she was in Dude.
She's a real genius. Real
genius.
Oh, come on. I knew that. Yeah, she was in the scene where he goes, I can't stand it. Can you, you know, have you ever seen a body like this in your life? And the guy's like, she happens to be my daughter. And he goes, oh, I guess you have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then she asked him if he'd ever drilled a, like, 6-inch spike through a piece of board with his penis or something like that. That was Deborah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I really enjoyed you know, her in this movie, and I thought she was just lovely. All right. So I think that is it for this one. So we're going to remind everybody that if you go to our website, that's Banzai Retro Club, BANZAI. And follow us on our social media endeavor. That all those links are there. If you want to shoot us an email, that's McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. Don't forget, if you have one of those fancy iPads or iPhones, to leave us a rating review on the iTunes app. Also, hit that little subscribe button. We'd appreciate it. And with all of that, we're going to go ahead and say, have a good whatever, and just be excellent to each other. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 And on the next episode, we are going to learn Brian De Palma's The Chicago Way. That's right, kids. The Untouchables,
1987. Oh, dude.
Dude.
TikTok, 928. Damn.
Dude, yeah, and I've got to run. Sorry.
Okay. No, it's fine. Dude, that's a great freaking movie.
I know you like it.
When you do it, you better do it. Give it some good accolades.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I know I won't be part of it.
Yeah, I mean, because
timing wise, yeah, I know you've been able to record quite a bit, so
I've been just randomly jumping on. So, and
doing
then
a great
after,
job, by way,
after but... this one, we go to the next page.
So, oh my.
So The Untouchables is the last from page one.
Hmm.
So we're going to be, yeah, 105 gets us into page two, and God, tons of great stuff. So yeah, that's going to be a nice little turning point.
Forwards, using all my breath, making love to you was never second best. I saw the world crashing all around your face, never really knowing it was always mesh and lace. I'll stop the world and melt with you. You've seen the difference, and it's getting better all the time. There's nothing you and I won't do. I'll stop the world and melt with you. We should know better. Dream of better lives, the kind which never hate.
We should see.
Wrapped in a state of imaginary grace.
We should know better.
I made a pilgrimage to save this human race.
We should see.
Never comprehending the race at long gone by. Stop the world and melt with you.
That's not the world.
You've seen the difference, and it's getting better all the time. There's nothing you and I won't do.
That's not the world.
I'll stop the world and melt with you.
But it's getting better all the time.
There's nothing new and I won't do.
That's not the world.
I'll stop the world and melt with you.
Getting better all the time.
There's nothing new and I will.